So a good evening and welcome to the best 30 minutes of technology talk on Ghana Radio. You're welcome to City Trends. We have quite a number of issues to discuss on the show today, and today we are going to have a conversation about how you and me will be consuming news very differently in the future.
You know, sometimes you want to own your online assets. So I have a website, I want to own that. I don't need to have another person's app running my content, so you can have control over your website and the content you post there.
Also, what should we do, or what should be our role in the global conversation about the mobile application economy?
The developers are making an effort to put their apps out there. It is not getting to the consumer in the form and manner that we want. So we have to position it in such a way to tell the consumer that this is an app that is strategically developed for you.
There is also the trending segment on the show, and of course, some two mobile applications to get you at your productive best. Many thanks to all of you who get in touch with us via City FM's Facebook and Twitter pages using the hashtag CityTrends. You can do the same with your comments and questions on City Trends today. If you want to get in touch with me directly, make sure you send me a message via my personal handle at Kofi Ashon. So if you're ready, we're just about to get the show started. I have a question for you. How do you get access to news on your phone or your tablet, or even on your computer? Does it take a lot of data? Do you enjoy the experience? These are some of the questions that probably went through the minds of the executives over at Facebook and Apple, and recently at Twitter, who are considering new ways of delivering news to their audience, and of course, still make some money on the side. Facebook is developing or has outdoored instant articles. Apple has developed Apple News and has actually launched it in its latest iOS 9 update. Twitter is doing something similar along the lines. It calls it Mentions. But what does all this mean for you as a consumer of news? I sat with Maximus Ametogo and we spoke about the prospects of all of these happening. And, of course, how it's going to translate into how you interact with your news.
I think Apple understands content, and content drives the online platform. So as much as possible, you want to be able to have a quality audience using quality content. So they want to create that platform for content publishers to be able to reach their target audience, and through the power of intuitive innovation like they've done. So I think it's going to revolutionize news creation and distribution across different platforms and screens. Yeah.
Now, I mean, I've downloaded it and I have had some interaction with it. Now, my first thing is, not quite a number of publishers are currently on board. Mm-hmm. Is it a fear of the unknown that is keeping, you know, publishers off the platform? What exactly is it?
You know, sometimes you want to own your online assets. So I have a website, I want to own that. I don't need to have another person's app running my content. So you can have control over your website and the content you post there. But the future is being redefined by all these social media and even Apple News. Yeah. Just like the Facebook articles, Facebook has 1.5 billion active users on the platform. They are able to push content to those audiences. And Apple is going to do the same thing. So they are going to make sure your content finds your readers or your viewers. So companies have started rethinking that, do I even need my online properties, a website? Why not go on the native, go on the Apple platform so I can reach the same audience?
Or even bigger.
Yes. Bigger, actually. And the kind of investment you need to be able to create the user experience for your online asset is huge. And if Apple has been able to design the platform the way you want it to be able to deliver the interactive content to your audience, why not go on that platform? And I think they're going to rethink and start going onto that platform, and paper copy will soon be gone, and everybody has to move to that platform. And it's going to even make the costs for producing news and distributing content cheaper, because I can sit in my room, develop my content, push it online, and it's straight away going to millions of people who are interested in consuming that content. So it's going to change publishing, and publishers, I'm sure, will jump on board.
In terms of the local context in Ghana, I mean, we are already still trying to get a grasp on what technology offers for news publishers. Are we ready for the Facebook Instant articles or the Apple News or the offering from Google? Are we ready for the future of news, quote unquote?
Yeah, I think we are moving there gradually. So as we spend a lot of time viewing content or consuming content via multiple screens, the more available those screens are, the more we'll do away with paper. So all those printed copy or printed format of news delivery will die out. Then we will go for the Facebook new articles and stuff and the news. But for now, because of low level of internet penetration and unreliable internet availability, we'll still make do with the traditional means of news distribution. But I'm sure within the shortest possible time, with free Facebooking and the rest, I'm sure we'll get there. When people can buy a smartphone, then they realize, okay, the smartphone is just more than just a device for making calls, that I can consume content, play videos, captures, pictures, you know, scenes of life, and share it with my friends. So they'll see more importance in owning those devices, and that is going to drive the need for publishing content on those platforms and for people to consume content on the same platforms as well.
When we compare Apple News and Facebook Instant articles and the new offerings that we hear that Twitter and the like are also coming up with, where does Apple News sit?
I think Apple News is more of a bridge or a hybrid kind of thing, because Facebook owns the people. Apple doesn't own anybody. So they're just creating a platform for news publishers to consume, and if anybody has Apple app or devices, they can have access to it. But Facebook, it cuts across all the operating system, Android, iOS, yes, and the rest. They are going to reach everybody. So it's quite different from that. And I love the feel and look of the Facebook articles more than the Apple News. Yeah.
Well, that was rather insightful for Maximus, talking about the prospects of Apple News, Facebook Instant Articles, and hinting, of course, at Twitter's moment. Personally, I think Facebook will win this particular war with Instant Articles. But then, who am I to judge? Mauli Chikata now joins us in the studio with trending segment on the show. Hello, Mauli.
Hi, Philip. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Trending on City Trends with me, Mauli Chikata. In our first story for today, Philip, Amazon is taking legal action against more than 1,000 people it says have posted fake reviews on its website. The online retail company says its brand reputation is being damaged by what it calls false, misleading, and inauthentic reviews paid for by sellers seeking to improve the appeal for their products.
That's very, very interesting, considering the fact that there seems to be an upsurge in some of these instances. So people are
fake stuff,
you know, people are paying more, they are buying more, you know, in terms of fake followers, even on Twitter, yeah, and things like that. What do you generally think about that particular trend?
Well, for in terms of the Amazon one, it's quite disappointing, because what it means is that if you are going to buy a product and you are looking at what people who have already bought the product have to say about it, what you are getting, it's all false. It's not real. Mm. People may not have used the product, but they are just writing stuff about it to make the product look good. And in terms of competition, I can write reviews about your product because I'm in competition with you and make your product look very bad. So for me, this is a good step for Amazon. When it comes to we see this on social media. I mean, when Facebook decided to take out fake likes on pages on Facebook, you realize that most brands that had a lot of likes on their pages had
suffered.
Yeah, there was a drastic drop in terms of numbers.
Yeah.
And as a social media manager, you realize that there are some pages that have more likes, but when it comes to engagement, very, very low engagement. It tells you that they are just buying likes which are fake just to make their numbers look good. But in terms of real engagement with people who are using the platform, their numbers are very small. And it will take you to Twitter as well. People buy fake followers.
Exactly.
I mean, you have people, celebrities, people in the entertainment industry. And sometimes people just want to buy fake likes to make them look like they have great
followers.
But it's all fake. And right, for me, I think this move by Amazon is good.
Well,
and also you can see that most websites are moving away from these traditional comments, closing them
I think the Washington Post has done something similar.
Exactly.
I think Huffington Post is actually considering that as well. What is that all about?
Because people are moving the conversation from the normal website onto social media. So the real conversation is happening now on social media. So I think that's why these organizations...
Do you think that the ability for website developers or media owners or even companies to be able to identify people more easily using their social media platforms probably has something to do with this? Because on a website, you know, people can use pseudonyms and things like that. So it's very difficult to locate who they are or find out who they are. Do you think this plays a role?
Yeah, it plays a role to some extent, because even on social media, people use, I mean, fake names, pseudonyms and stuff like that. But it just tells you that the probability to have people give you the best of reviews on social media is higher than on your website.
On your traditional website. Yeah. Okay,
so
what is the next story?
The next story is that the United States is currently being urged by lobbyists to consider a national register of drones and their owners. Reports also indicate that a task force has been set up to examine creating a record of drones and their users. The move comes after several reported incidents of drones hindering emergency services' efforts in fighting fires and other dangers. The problem is seen as particularly pressing as the number of drones given as Christmas present this year is expected to soar. the task force will issue a report on how the database will be implemented late next month.
Very interesting. Considering that the United States currently is being pressurized by these same lobbyists to allow, you know, delivery of products via drones services, is that even going to be possible? Because we know some jurisdictions have actually given the green light for it to be started. I believe Sweden or so have begun this particular move. Are we going to get to the point where we're going to see more and more deliveries and being done using the drones?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's all about beating time. These drones move faster, and you can
no traffic.
You direct it where it goes. It goes and it delivers the product. So I think, but the issue is with the security.
Right.
So that people, you know, in every innovation, there are people who have, who use it for negative stuff. So if we know that this particular drone is from this person, this company, and is moving to deliver a product to this other company or this other institution, then it can be tracked. If there's any problem, we know that this is where it is coming from. So I think this move is good, and I can't wait to see some kind of
implementation of this particular thing
in our part of the world. I mean, I see some churches use it for when they are doing crusades and all entertain.
That seems to be the restricted use of drones these days. You know, to capture aerial images. But then the possibilities of...
It's huge.
You know, other things coming out of the use of drones is pretty huge.
It's huge. And we can't wait to have all these... we can't wait to experience them in our part of the world, especially in Ghana for us.
Well, I guess fingers crossed, and hopefully we'll get to experience these in later years or later days.
So that's all we have for trending on City Trends. My name is Mauli Chikata. You can follow me on Twitter at Mauli Chikata. Thank you, Philip.
Indeed. Well, global mobile application downloads currently stand around $87 billion as at last year. I've also wondered how much of all of this revenue is actually enjoyed by African or even Ghanaian app developers. What are they not doing right to benefit from all this money? That is the matter I intend to explore today. I sat with MTN Ghana's Abdul Latif Ishaku, and he shared some insight with me on this particular matter.
Absolutely. The ecosystem or the Ghanaian apps ecosystem is not really there. We are not there yet, because if you look at an app ecosystem, we are talking about several players coming together to build the ecosystem. Yep. So you have application users who are the consumers on one side, you have application developers, you have device manufacturers, the likes of Samsung, Huawei, Tecno, and Microsoft. Then you also have the payment gateways. You know, you are talking about the mobile monies and so on. Then you also have another category, that is the social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and the rest. So all of these partners, they need to come together to make apps work. It is not developers alone that will make it work. We need to get all of this partners on board. So for device manufacturers, they typically would want very good quality apps to put on those devices, because the devices are going global. It is not just for Ghana alone. So for a Ghanaian app to go on a Samsung device, it must be really good.
Of course.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say we have the ecosystem in place yet, but I believe we are getting there slowly with the involvement of the telecom operators, because they are a key player in that ecosystem. They have the bulk of the customers sitting with them. Now, for applications to be relevant to the users, you need to have that connectivity, which your mobile operator would make available. All right. So another key player in the ecosystem, of course, is the operating system owners. So you are talking about Apple, Android, and BlackBerry, Microsoft, and so on. So all of these partners need to be part of that ecosystem. We haven't seen that in Ghana or in the African market yet. So it even makes it difficult to estimate the size of our market.
Now, I'm just wondering, how slow is slow exactly when you talk about how, like, we are inching closer or we are inching slowly towards it? How slow is our slow?
Right. So in 2009, when the likes of Apple and, Android had already reached out to the market, operators were very slow at coming to the market. So from 2009, a couple of operators started to announce their own application stores. So today we have application stores run by operators, even in this market. So you have the likes of MTN Play, the MTN Play, which is an app store, okay, where people can go and download apps. Now, what we see in the industry is that the developers are making an effort to put their apps out there. It is not getting to the consumer in the form and manner that we want. So we have to position it in such a way to tell the consumer that this is an app that is strategically developed for you. So as a developer, you have to think, this app I am developing, will it connect with the end user in Ghana? And I keep going back to an example of the Owari 3D app. This is a local app that takes something from our local experience of the Owari 3 game and creating a digital rendition of it, put it on a smartphone for users to use. Okay, now for developers to make that success, they need to look at our lifestyle and then transform that into mobile applications, into digital solutions for users to enjoy. Now, what we see is that the gap between users and application developers is still wide. So that interaction hasn't been created for users to tell developers that, hey, these are the things that we are looking for in a mobile app. All right. And for them to size it in such a way that their data connectivity or their data usage would be minimal. Right. So all of those difficulties are still there.
I see. Well, listeners, you're still tuned into 97.3 City FM. The show is City Trends, and today we're talking about Ghana or Africa's mobile application ecosystem and whether we have one or not. It's very clear that we are inching closer to getting one, but then there are a lot of things that need to come together for us to do that. Now, research shows that developer participation in the app economy is still highly skewed in the favor of industrialized countries. Now, the ecosystem that supports mobile app developers in Ghana appears non-existent. Should we look at creating a unique app ecosystem to support our local developers, or what exactly should we do?
Absolutely. I think the way forward for the Ghanaian app industry is for us to create that ecosystem, to bring the device manufacturers, to bring the telecom operators, to bring the cloud solution providers. Because when I talk to developers, one of the key problems they face is storage. When you develop an app, you need to host it somewhere. Who is going to provide that service for them? So they usually will rely on Amazon and other international services to provide all the facilities that they need to host their apps. So we need to have that locally at a cost-effective rate for developers to use. Okay. Now, when we bring together all of these partners in the ecosystem, now we would be getting somewhere, because that interaction needs to happen. Developers need to understand what users want. Device manufacturers need to tell developers what they require in order for a standard Ghanaian app to sit on your mobile device. Operators need to tell developers and device manufacturers the level of data usage that is acceptable for a specific app or any given app, such that users can get the best experience. But if you give them app that is going to run and drain all their data, they are not going to go for it.
See. Well, it looks like there's a lot that needs to be done then. Yeah. And on the part of the app developers, do you think they are equipped with this sort of knowledge to be able to give off the very best?
Yes, I've seen some brilliant application developers in this market. But what is lacking is the collaboration. For you to get a very great idea, it might come outside of you. So you need to talk to people in social science, people in the arts, people in business, you know, to share ideas with them and inspire your idea behind a mobile app. That is what we are not seeing so much of. Okay, so developers who come through these competitions, they typically take their technical skills and they go in there to compete, you know. But they could have done better if they had tied up with somebody from the humanities to say that, hey, I'm trying to look at this. Can you bring another dimension of it? Or they could provide some different perspective to say that, hey, why don't you approach it this way? You know, so that is what we need to see a lot more of, such collaborations between technical people and non-technical people. You know, apart from that, developers also have issues with monetization. Right. When they take their app, how do we monetize it? Yes, monetization is a big issue. Now, we are fortunate to have mobile money. It's big in Africa. You know, the operators are looking for developers to take their APIs, integrate it into their mobile apps. Right. And the thing with mobile money is that you can create your own in-app purchases. Mm-hmm. You know, that makes it easier for you to say that, hey, I'm going to sell ABCD on my app and then make revenue out of it without waiting for the developer. Mm-hmm. So another challenge that we see is the revenue share. So we must have very clear, transparent revenue share processes that developers will believe in and take part in order for the market to really work.
It's no new knowledge that mobile money is Africa's trump card.
Right.
So why is it that mobile app developers are not taking advantage of that?
That kind of surprises me because I have been working on that train in the last 3 years since 2013. Wherever we go, we tell application developers that, hey, come around, ask for our APIs. It's readily available. We'll give it to you and we'll help you to integrate. Because it is part of our goal to see as many people as possible use their mobile money APIs. So you have, apart from the mobile money providers, you have the likes of iWallet, you know, now SlidePay. All of these payment gateways can assist developers to easily sell to their clients. Now, as application developer, you probably may even have to look beyond Ghana. You know, the likes of MasterCard and Visa, you know, they may want you to come and take their payment gateways, integrate into your stuff. So even if they don't give you a chance, there are other companies that will help you get to access to Visa and MasterCard to have their payment gateways integrated. So I see a huge opportunity, particularly for mobile money, that developers have to take advantage of. You know, they should go for it. Operators have opened their arms waiting for them to take it up.
Finally, what does the immediate future look like for Ghanaian mobile app developers?
I think the future is very bright. It's interesting. Developers have a lot of work to do. It is all about promoting and marketing your work in such a way that you can reach out to the approximately 4 million smartphone users in this market. 4 million is a lot of customers service. To serve. So if I were a developer, I would begin looking at ways of reaching out to my customer base, because if you look at the way the data market is growing, it is largely driven by use of social media and mobile applications. So developers need to position themselves in such a way that they are present on social media to make their apps more relevant and more interesting to users.
Accessible.
Exactly. And for us to succeed, all of us need to take part in that ecosystem. I mentioned storage. Storage systems need to be in place for developers. Connectivity, I think, is sorted out, you know, but for the users, they need to get more value from their data offers in order to use mobile apps more effectively.
Well, that was rather enlightening conversation with Abdul Latif Ishaku of MTN, talking about the mobile app ecosystem and how Ghana or African mobile app developers can be a part of that experience. Well, talking about apps, let's get some updates on that front on the app segment on the show, shall we? Now, the truth really is that almost every part of the mobile web, or the web for that matter, has evolved significantly over the past years. Websites are more vibrant and fluid and rather more functional. Social networks are more uniform and, of course, controlled. Messaging services are also much easier to navigate and share with friends and family. Then, of course, comes email. No one I know enjoys dealing with email. But then if you're someone who does want to get the very best of your email applications, then there is one that you need to consider. And that one is called Xero. Z-E-R-O. Xero. Now, the app aims to finally modernize your inbox to make it a place you don't fear visiting. The app aims to sort your emails by importance, by noting who and what matters, so those messages rise to the top. It also shrinks emails down to summarized cards that can be browsed through like a social feed, giving it a rather familiar feel, just like on Facebook and all the other apps that you have. So when it comes to cleaning out your inbox of unwanted messages, all it takes is a swipe. So go ahead and check out our very first mobile app for today. It's called Xero and it's spelled Z-E-R-O. Now, pretty much everything on the internet today is in a list format, as you will probably know by now. But the truth is that some lists are much better than others. That brings us to our second app for today. It's called the List app. That is L-I-S-T, the List app. And it's all about lists. So make a list of just about anything and share it. You can browse through other lists as well and see how people rank anything you can even think of. So go ahead and create a list today with the List app and get to see what others are also talking about. Finally, if you haven't noticed, video is quickly becoming one of the more popular mediums of communication thanks to apps like Snapchat and live streaming services like Periscope. Today, I introduce you to Chubble, C-H-U-B-B-L-E, Chubble. Now, it sort of occupies the middle ground between those types of apps. Instead of a short disappearing clip or an hour-long live stream, Chubble lets you share 90-second live moments as they happen and gives your friends a chance to respond to your video in real time with reactions that you can see. Pretty cool, huh? Well, those are the three apps that I brought you today. We have Chubble, List, and Xero. Three apps for you to check out this week. Well, that is all time will allow us on the show today. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for your comment. And for those of you with the suggestions and, of course, questions, thank you so much for that. We'll be addressing them in next week's show. Many thanks to my guests on the show today, Maximus, and, of course, Mr. Ishaku, and Mauli Chikata for making the show a memorable one. Thank you so much, all of you, for tuning in. Till next week, my name is Philippa Sean. Stay techie.